Well, for most of today's radio program, it's going to be just you and I. There's a lot on my mind, a lot of things that I really need to share from my heart to yours, a little bit of the news, but really just looking at the crossroad that we as a nation and world are at.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, these past few weeks have been kind of a rough time. A lot of recuperating after a surgery. It's been a lot longer than anticipated, a lot harder than I've ever had. And I'll be honest, it's not been easy to keep up with the recording and broadcast schedule. But so far, we've been able to keep it up. There are a lot of things on my heart and my mind today that I'll be sharing with you as I look at what we should be doing with this time. We spent a lot of time talking about the news. And this program, as I've said hundreds of times before, and I'll say it again, was born from the lies being told about the pandemic back in 2020. My concerns about a real bad feeling I was getting about the election here in the United States, that the pandemic was going to be used as a way to cheat, and I've said it, and I'll stand by that. When somebody like Mark Zuckerberg can drop $480 million, close to $500 million of his own money, to put in drop boxes in predominantly Democrat neighborhoods, with ballots we have no idea where they came from, no accountability, I call that cheating. And I don't care what any pinheaded moron at Mind Syphilis NBC or the Clinton News Network or any of the other fascist, foolish, idiotic, lying, just propaganda news outlets. That's what they've become. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. Notice the Biden administration to do a, you've already heard this story, I know, from last week, for a debate. All they want are the in-the-tank propaganda people to moderate the debate. Of course, no studio audience, microphone cut off, and I have to wonder how many drugs will be injected and pumped into Biden so he can survive an hour or two in that environment like he did the State of the Union, or I should say the yelling at the Union address, where he just screamed and yelled like a madman for like 2 hours. And he gets faster and faster. You know that he's on drugs because the man is incompetent, incapable of being anything anymore. This is elder abuse. And so what you have is a guy with mental deficiency, moral deficiency, a liar, I think a sellout. I think that he sold out his office as a senator for years, complaining that I'm the poorest guy in, you know, in the Senate, and now he owns these mansions. And he, you know, what's he ever done to earn the money for those kind of mansions? And now he was the selected president because of a pandemic. And the powers that be are in panic mode. They realize that the campaign is falling apart. Look, if Biden's economy was strong, and it isn't, if Biden's lies were not obvious even to half of his base, he wouldn't have ever offered to debate Donald Trump. He wouldn't have needed it. But he's basically, this is a dumpster fire of an administration, and they're having a hard time putting that fire out. So it is what it is. We deal with a lot of these news stories here on Truth to Ponder. And I know we're coming to a crossroad. I knew 4 years ago, as it was 4 years ago, I was preparing to launch something. I didn't know it would be a once a week radio program, maybe a video cast and radio program. I never anticipated it being a 5 day a week program. And even then, I thought maybe just for a season, maybe just to get us through the pandemic and through the election and try to expose some of the things that were happening in an effort maybe to, Not that this program ever reached enough people to really tip a balance, but at least so you would understand the fight that we're in. I knew in my work, as I've said before, that we were being asked to lie. Something just didn't smell right, felt bad. I couldn't abide by it anymore. And I walked away from a lucrative, well-paying position. But I feel better for doing it. I have no regrets for leaving, because I would have had a hard time dealing with my own conscience if I had continued, as it became increasingly clear that something about all of this was just wrong. I can remember all the debates 4 years ago about this time, lab leak versus it came from an old bat somewhere from hundreds of miles away and got to some meat market in Wuhan, and from there it spread around the world, and the crisis and the deaths, and it's going to kill. You remember all the hype? Stay home, stay safe, quarantine, wear a face diaper, stay 6 feet apart, walk one way in grocery aisles, don't go outside because, you know, getting outside in fresh air and sunshine, it was stupidity. And the evilest of evil people grabbed onto this pandemic, and they made it worse than it really was. Last week and the week before, we talked about the deadly protocols pushed by the CDC. Where's the accountability for those that were mass murdered by the CDC? I call it for the way I see it. I've talked to too many families now, and then you've heard some of them on this program. People that almost died because of the stupidity or the arrogance or the demonic influence that has just riddled our governments. We have a House of Representatives and a United States Senate that are full of buffoons, idiots, and morons in both parties, I might add. Hate to say it, but I'm less and less impressed each and every day. We are headed down a highway to hell because we've got idiots and reprobates running our government. And at the top of this bizarre food chain is the freak show called the White House. I mean, there's not one normal person in the White House. You've got to be either mentally ill, demonically possessed, or just weird, or a pervert to work in that White House. Those are the job qualifications. And to be at the top of the ticket, you got to be corrupt, bought off. I'm sure the Chinese and a lot of people have enough over Biden's head, like the sword of Damocles. And so he is the perfect stooge. He has to do what he's told. And oftentimes he admits that he's doing what he's told. Now, I just want to share this one little news story, kind of pandemic-related, couple little thoughts. And it just proves that everything we were saying on this program consistently for almost 4 years has been correct. We have not had to pull back on any of this. We said in 2020, in 2021, and in 2022 that this virus that encircled the globe was man-made. And I firmly believe that America's cuddly cockroach, Dr. Anthony Fauci, had a lot to do with it. And more, we talked about people like Dr. Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Peter Daszak at the EcoHealth or EcoHealth Alliance. We've talked about these individuals and their ties to the cuddly cockroach himself, Fauci, who is just like no different than Michael Cohen, just a liar. He's a bureaucrat and a liar who has found ways to make millions of dollars for himself from his job with the government. Nice work if you can get it. And I just want to remind you in this little tiny interchange, I want to go back a little over two years ago. Dr. Rand Paul, medical doctor, so he does know what he's talking about, confronting the little cockroach about gain of function. And how this insidious, creepy, liar, filth bag just gets in front of everybody. and talks about gain of function as it doesn't exist. And I know everything and you know nothing. So listen to this little exchange between Senator Rand Paul and the little cockroach.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
So what was, let me finish. You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition.
Can I answer
of gain
the question?
Of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Now, understand that Dr. Fauci has held to that story consistently, that I did nothing wrong. It was never gain of function. He even tried, but here's the worst part. All these emails he thought were hidden are coming out, where they were trying to hide the idea of a lab leak and trying to invent this idea of naturally occurring. It came from an old bat somewhere hundreds of miles away from Wuhan and got to a meat market and got to somebody who got to somebody else, and then somebody got in an airliner, and the rest is history. They tried to sell that lie, because they knew what they were doing. And once again, this goes back to the Obama administration. Things you couldn't do and then things you could do. Dr. Fauci tried to change the definition of gain of function to hide the evil work that they were doing. It's amazing how just little dribs and drabs come out. Now, the mainstream media ignores it because they were complicit in it to begin with. If we had real journalism, this would have been exposed back in 2020 and 2021. We wouldn't have it dribbling out today, but we don't have real journalism anymore. It's dead. It's dying. It reeks to high heaven. It stinks. ABC, NBC, Mind Syphilis NBC, CNN, all of them. Garbage. Trash. Just insidious lie after lie after lie. You know, I got a kick the other day, a while back. You remember when Rona McDaniel was hired by MSNBC, she didn't even make it one day before all the lunatic fringe that call themselves journalists. There's not a journalist person at MSNBC. They're delusional. They're crazy. These are crazy in the tank fools. Yeah. Clowns like, you know, Chuck Todd and others. Rachel Maddow, a journalist? You got to be kidding. It's a freak show. They wouldn't know journalism if it was, you know, a colonoscopy. They just wouldn't. They can't find it. They never learned it. They have delusional minds and they're reprobates. So lying comes easy. And they think Michael Cohen did a great job on the stand last week, too, by the way. They think he's telling the truth. Well, they wouldn't know the truth anyway. You understand that. But this little story kind of snuck out. It didn't get a whole lot of traction, but you need to hear this. Last week, Dr. Lawrence Tabak, the NIH's deputy director, had kind of a Clinton-esque, that's the best way to describe it, defense. In other words, you know, it depends on what your definition of the word is kind of thing. And he made this admission before Congress. Kind of like, depends on your definition of what is, well, then he goes, it really depends on your, remember, they're discussing what happened with the Wuhan leak. Could this have come from Wuhan or a lab or something like it? And now we are realizing it depends on what your definition is of gain of function. I want you to listen to what Dr. Tabak admitted before the United States Congress and put that in light of what the little cuddly cockroach said 2 years ago.
Dr. Tabak, did NIH fund gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology through Echo Health?
It depends on your definition of gain-of-function research. If you're speaking about the generic term, yes, we did. Because, but this is research, the generic term is research that goes on in many, many labs around the country. It is not regulated. And the reason it's not regulated is it poses no threat or harm to anybody.
COVID-19!
Now, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time, just mere seconds, to finish this out. Dr. Fauci denied there was any kind of gain-of-function research being done on anything related to COVID. That's what he said. He lied. We know that. It's obvious. He's held to that lie because, see, he knows that he could be criminally liable for what they did. We've also shared some other stories on this program that I still believe will come out as they always do. Why did the Department of Defense of the United States have 23 biolabs in Ukraine? And why do they don't really want to talk about it? What was going on there that we need to know about? That's something else that's in the back of my mind. So the cuddly cockroach lies. And this guy, Dr. Tabak, he decides that, well, maybe Lawrence there, he's got a, well, it's kind of becoming obvious that there was some of this going on, but it just depends on what your definition is. And, you know, gain of function is harmless. Dr. Lawrence's weird defense and trying to qualify his admission saying it depends on what you mean by gain of function. You could probably say that about anything. Try that for yourself. You know, what could we come up with? It depends on what you mean by I paid my taxes. You know, I mean, when does the lying stop in our government? Our government is now reprobate. Our government is evil. It is filthy. It is disgusting. It is putrid. It is untrustworthy. It is demonically inspired. And we don't have enough people with backbone and conviction to stand up to it. Now, Dr. Tabak ignored the government's official definition found in federal documents that related to the ban of gain-of-function research back when they had no problems understanding what gain-of-function meant. And this is the game. By quietly changing some definitions that the cockroach has been playing. NIH has been playing. And they try to convince you that some unproven theory of a vaccine is going to fix everything. And all we've seen is everything we told you on this program true. The vaccine never stopped you from getting or spreading COVID. It didn't make your chances of living better. The natural mutation of the virus did that on its own. You've been played. And both parties have a hand in it. And my real fear is that nobody will ever truly be held accountable. We are at a crossroad in this nation, and I can't fix it. I can't. I'm just one person with one little radio program, one little podcast. And most of you that listen on a regular basis are already in agreement with where we're at. I may just be boosting what you already know or filling in the blanks. Our government in the United States is now evil, immoral, and corrupt to the max. It's just awful. The freak show in Manhattan called a trial is an abomination of the law. We have descended. We are making third world banana republics look respectable. The United States has fallen. And we've fallen because of our own sin. We've fallen because the church has been impotent and celebrating too much of the sin that's destroying us from within. And that's why I say I'm at this crossroad. So when I look at people like Dr. Fauci, even this clown Dr. Tabak, Rochelle Walensky, all the breathless reporters with their death tickers over at MSNBC and CNN starting in 2020, and they pulled it down, of course, the moment that Biden is inaugurated, to make him look good, even though more people died allegedly of COVID under his watch. Can't have that happen now. We have no media we can trust. We don't even have a government we can trust anymore. And I'm concerned. We've come to this crossroad. When I look at the freak show, when I look at all those that we should be able to believe and trust, the only thing that comes to mind is this.
You, sir, are a liar. Liar, liar, your pants are on fire!
And if it wasn't for the fact that these people in power have influence over your family and your finances, and in some cases even your faith, it would be funny. But no, it's deadly. It's deadly serious, and it's worrisome. The other day, last week, I had a conversation with a friend of mine in Northeast Georgia. I've known the guy for many years, and I hadn't seen him in a long time until back in February. It had been a long time. He and I had worked together at a Christian college. And one of the things that stands out, he had discovered me on radio doing Truth to Ponder, and has listened on shortwave. And I'm always amazed at people that listen. I do believe in shortwave radio. And I want to just take a moment now. By the way, on the other side of the break, we're going to go into some really, really important stuff. So you'll want to be with me on the other side. I'm actually saving the best for last. You know, when Jesus performed the miracle of changing the water into wine, even the wine steward said, normally we do the good stuff first, and when they've had their fill, then we just give them the cheap stuff. I'm actually saving the best for the other side of the break. But I do need to spend a moment sharing a few thoughts that I think are vital. We are at a crossroad. The United States is at a crossroad. And just like an airline pilot heading down the runway and picking up speed and getting ready to make the liftoff, there's a point on that runway that's called the point of no return. When you hit that point, you either have to take off or crash. You have no choice. There you can't stop. You can't regroup. You're committed. And my fear is we are coming to that point of no return. And I don't think we're able to take off and get away from the issues that are in front of us. And my heart is telling me this nation is going to crash. It is going to get far worse before it ever gets better, if it ever does get better. This is the problem as I see it. We are coming into a time, and understand what I mean by this, and we'll talk about it extensively on the other side of the break. I know there are many of you that come out of a dispensational theology. I'm not going to argue or debate it with you. And even if you are right, you have to, if you're intellectually honest, admit that just in the past 2,000 years, this world has seen times of intense and horrific times of tribulation, persecution, pain, disease. It's seen it. And to think that some great tribulation, that we're all going to escape it. Well, let's say you're right. Let's just say you're right. Look at the people in Poland in 1939 as the Germans came across the border. To them, that was a time of great tribulation. It wasn't the great tribulation, but it was a time of tribulation. Look back during the Black Plague, Black Death, that killed a third of Europe. You can go all across history for 2,000 years and find these times of incredible pain and suffering, persecution and loss. On a minor scale, the stock market crash of 1929 wiped out the wealth of many and put the United States in a period of absolute depression for years that only subsided when we got ourselves involved in a world war. And by the time we got to the end of August of 1945, 15 million died on the battlefield, 45 million died civilian deaths, 400 and some odd thousand alone from the United States, almost 400,000 United Kingdom. The Soviet Union lost around 24 million people. Even in the Philippines, the number ranges upwards of a million. Poland, 5 million. Millions of people died. Nations just devastated and turned into rubble that took years to repair, and the psychological damage that was left on the hearts and minds of many remained for the rest of their lives. I know people that I met from that greatest generation that saw things they should never have seen. They never wanted to talk about it, and it impacted their lives terribly. So yeah, there have been times of tribulation. So let's assume that what we are about to come into in the United States is not the Great Tribulation, but how bad could it be? Could it be a World War III? Could it be an economic disaster? I mean, come on. We are adding $1 trillion of debt every 92 days. We have 30-some-odd trillion dollars, $34 trillion in United States debt. That's the government. And then the citizens have got another $27 trillion. We don't have a GDP that can sustain that. We are on the verge of a world of hurt. And I shared that audio clip last week about the buffoon in charge of our economy going, well, we can't go bankrupt because we can print money. Then when he's asked a question, so why are we borrowing money? And he goes, gee, that's a good question. I don't know why. These are the people in charge. I'm realizing that what St. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, and I quote this a lot about delusion, is true. We are coming into a time of tribulation, and it's going to be caused by mass delusion. Now, whether this is the Great Tribulation, I don't know. But you better be prepared for a pretty rough ride. It's standing on the doorstep. We are at the crossroad. We are either going to turn away from it or turn right into it. And that's what I'll be talking about on the other side of the break. Now, we are wrestling. I've come to a few conclusions. We are able to sustain ourselves on WRMI. That much I know. We can sustain ourselves as a podcast. But right now, the giving has not been there to stay on WTWW. So between now and the end of the month, we're going to settle up. And if we can't get it together, then we're moving on and just going off. That's all there is to it when it comes to WTWW. I've been asking for 3 weeks, and you've pretty much given me the answer. And the emails indicate that most of you have been listening on WRMI. So let's be good stewards of what God has given us. I've still got a radio station to build here in Southwest Virginia, which has nothing to do with Truth to Ponder, but it will be a station that'll be playing traditional Christian music and programming with some of the new that's Christ-centered. and teaching programs that are unique and different. And you'll be able to hear it online. And if you live in these parts, you'll be able to hear it on the radio. I've got a little church that needs more of my time than I've been giving it. And this extra effort because of WTWW has taken away from that. And so there are some decisions, as you can see, laying in front of me. And I've also need to reckon with my health. I'm beginning to get a little bit more sleep, but still, it's not easy. We have a long way to go before I'll feel normal again. It's going to be months. So every time I do this radio program, I do it in a cloud, so to speak, of I'm still not right. I'm still not 100% there. I'm doing the best that I can, and I appreciate your prayers, but it is what it is. And so we have decisions to make going forward. You're the ones that keep it going. And that's why I come to you. If you can support us financially, would you consider it maybe for the first time ever today? Two ways to do it. You can go to the website truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. There is a link to take you to Give, Send, Go. And it generally works. I had one person that said they had a problem last week, but hopefully that got resolved. But it has been pretty flawless, and it was the first time I'd ever heard anybody had an issue. But things do happen. I get it. Or you can send a check or money order made payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Mara and Naomi coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. In the book of Ruth, the story is told of Naomi and her family. She leaves the land of Israel. Tragedy strikes. She loses her husband and her two sons. Finally, she decides to return to her land of Israel. And she returns with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. But when she goes out, it says in Ruth chapter 1, she says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." Well, why is that? Naomi means pleasant, the pleasant one. But Naomi doesn't feel pleasant. Her life is anything but pleasant. She changes her name to Mara, which in Hebrew means bitter. So then the very next text reads this. In verse 22, it says, "So Naomi returned." Now, wait a minute. She just said, "Don't call me Naomi." Now the Bible's calling her Naomi in the next verse. The Bible doesn't even recognize the word Mara, doesn't even recognize that name. Why? Well, God knows why. He still calls her pleasant, even though her life is all over the place, because God sees her differently than she sees herself. God sees her as he made her to be. He didn't make her to be bitter. He made her to be pleasant. And God sees the end of the story. He knows at the end, she's not going to be bitter. She's going to be blessed, pleasant. So God ignores the way she sees herself. You too, my friend. You may see yourself one way. Maybe your life has been one way. Doesn't matter. You might see yourself as bitter or depressed or a failure or angry or scarred or rejected. Doesn't matter. God sees you the way he made you to be. Stop seeing yourself just as you appear. See yourself as the word of God declares you. And the Bible declares you royal, priest, holy, beloved in the blood of Messiah. Victory begins. You may call yourself Mara, but God calls you Naomi. Want more? Ask for Boaz on CD. Now, what if somebody offered you a gift of $1 million? What would you say? Well, strong, victorious life with God is worth a lot more than that. So I want to offer something to help you have a victorious life with God. A free subscription to Sapphires, Vitamins for Your Spirit, and The Incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. And so how do you get it? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus' real Hebrew name, and dial it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. It's 1-800-YESHUA-1. YESHUA1. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. I invite you to join me in the harvest, the farthest way you can ever spread the gospel. Amazing. Shortwave radio, you can blanket the earth. We do it all the time. Just call 1-800-YESHUA1. That's YESHUA1. You can have a part. Or write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. That's Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. Until next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, peace be to you, my friend. Shalom Aleichem in Messiah, the Redeemer.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, I promised you I was going to change gears and save the best for last on this part of the program. I've been reading many emails, and I apologize if I've not been able to fully respond to all of them. There have been many. And understand that I'm still recuperating and it takes a lot out of me. On average, it's taking me 2 to 3 times longer to produce a radio program now than before my surgery a few weeks ago. And so I just ask you to kind of bear with me. I'm trying to do the best that I can. And I hope that the program is keeping up to at least some of the standards I've tried to keep the radio program up to during these years of doing it. And so I'm thankful for each and every one of you that listen. We started this program, I'll just say this, primarily because of COVID-19, the upcoming election, and the weirdness descending our land. We watched here in the United States riots for George Floyd. We watched police cars on fire. We're told they're peaceful protest. But today, if you are blocking an abortion clinic, you can get 5 years in prison. A dear sweet lady is facing that because we have a Department of Injustice in the United States that I really believe is run by demons. Not people, demons. Demonically possessed, insane, sick individuals are running our government. If you are pro-life, if you believe there are two genders, you are an enemy of the state. If you believe the election of 2020 may have been tainted, you're an enemy of the state. If you believe that there was no Russian collusion in 2016, you're an enemy of the state. And on it goes. We have been taken over by the most evil people this country has ever seen. This is 2024. In 2 years, can you believe in 2 years, in July, this nation will supposedly celebrate its 250th anniversary, July 4th of 2026. I can remember the bicentennial of 1976. But with what I am seeing today, there's a really good chance our nation will not make it till 2026, that the evil and dark powers around us will prevail. I warned you back in 2020, in August, September, October, and the first week of November, do not count your chickens before they hatch. I had so many listeners saying, Bob, why are you concerned about the election? Have you seen the crowds that Trump gets? And I said, have you seen the strangeness and the change of rules for elections that have come down the pike in the last 4 months? It was ripe. It was a setup. One of my issues, and I've taken it up, and I don't want to get into this today, maybe tomorrow or the next day. Georgia, good example. 2018, Governor Kemp had won his election in 18 to become the governor of Georgia. And Stacey Abrams challenged that election, and they finally caved in on a lot of stuff for the 2020 election, which is what allowed Trump to lose illegally, as far as I'm concerned, in Georgia. And then it's amazing that by 2022, they repaired it again so that rhino clown Kemp could win re-election. And I just wonder what'll happen for this election here in 2024. It's a mess in Georgia. It's a mess everywhere. So we are in a world of hurt. And we are at a crossroad. I don't need to discuss the election with any of you. You know the stakes. You know what you need to do. You also should understand that I don't put all my hope and trust in a politician. My trust is in God. Sure, I'm going to vote. And you can pretty much guess who I'm voting for. I'm not voting for the head pastor of a church, so I'm looking for the guy, as I've told you 1,000 times before. When it comes to secular government, you vote for the person that poses the least threat to your faith, your family, and your finances. Period. The least threat to your faith, your family, and your finances. The current administration is a threat to your faith. It is a threat to your family, demanding that they can change the gender of your child without your knowledge. And maybe your son's gay when he's in the first grade. We need to explore that. This is the sick perversion. And if for whatever reason, Joe Biden gets reelected, remember, you told me 4 years ago, it couldn't happen. Look at those rallies for Trump. It can't happen. That duffer Biden, he'll never win. We have a one vote majority in the House. We're down one in the Senate. And we've got Captain Dementia in the White House. And you have some of the evilest people in the FBI, the NIS, and all of these agencies conspiring against you. I don't hold out a lot of hope. I am prayerful that it's too big of a win to cheat. That's my prayer. And they will do everything in the mainstream media, the lamestream media, the filthy lying media to convince you otherwise. So what's the important thing on my heart and my mind today? I'm getting tired. Look, I had some wonderful letters recently that I'm the voice of truth to many, that they learn a lot from this program, and I'm glad. But what are you learning from this program you can't find elsewhere? I mean, I subscribe to a lot of publications and online websites, some that are behind paywalls, to learn so I can have a wealth of knowledge. But I will come out and tell you that I'm spending way too much time dealing with secular news. I don't mind doing some, but I'm doing too much. It's becoming, my heart is saying enough is enough is enough. I got to pull away. I can't do as much of the news anymore. I'm looking at a world around me today, the Christian world in particular. It is unraveling. You've got mainline churches that once were bulwarks of the faith that are now apostate. Totally. Completely. I mean, they've completely rejected and spit on the face of Christ on the cross. They just spit on him. They want to do their own thing and celebrate sin. You have a lot of other churches that have become, I'm going to say it, you might get mad, but they've become entertainment venues where people don't go to worship, they come to be entertained. It's like being, as I said before, it's like being at a Phil concert, a Phil, you know, Collins concert in the 80s. Oh, I'm feeling so good swaying to the music. A little pep talk. It's one of the reasons that when the opportunity came to build this little radio station here for Southwest Virginia, just really to cover Chilhowee, 7 Mile Ford, into Marion, Glade Springs. You know, just, it doesn't cover much, but it covers where the church has its draw. And you'll be able to hear it online. We do have a new radio station in the market that appeared a while back. K-Love bought one of the radio stations here. That may excite some of you, but it does not excite me. you have this new apostolic reformation stuff going on out there. I don't like the term I mentioned the other day. I don't like the term non-denominational. My church, call it interdenominational. I may be denominational myself, but I realize I'm serving a lot of people who have had to flee their denomination and church. So the church I lead at the moment, everything that all Christians have held together from the beginning is what we emphasize, preach, and teach. There's no new knowledge, no new anything. It is what it is. And you've got people that want Bible studies to make them feel better about themselves for, you know, tips on parenting. And K-Love playing the music that's all about me, not about him. And when it does talk about him, a lot of it, I listened. My wife and I struggled to listen for a few days, and the music just hit me as, it's all about me. Where's Jesus in all of this? It's so minimal. The church is rotting from the inside out. Mainline churches apostate. Once sound churches getting wishy-washy, spongy, soft. They don't want to offend anybody. Even some churches that are supposed to be and traditionally have still been bulwarks of the faith, they're falling apart too. So, not that this means a whole lot. There was an article out last, I think it was Thursday. Former President Jimmy Carter's church appoints a divorced mother of two as its first woman pastor. Kind of a surprise, but not. A lot of churches are just moving away from tradition. I've talked a lot about the United Methodist Church. I'm not a Methodist. But I have a dear brother in Christ that spent many, many years of his life, actually several brothers, I'm thinking about a couple of others now, that were Methodist pastors back in the day, but left years ago when they saw the issues beginning to develop and this fallout. As the church has taken on more of a secular viewpoint, it keeps pushing Jesus out and the world in. It no longer speaks against sin, it begins to celebrate it. How many churches have died from the inside? Far too many. And how do we either have a reformation or how do we pull away? One of the things that is on my mind as part of the new direction for Truth to Ponder, sure, we can look at some of these news stories like we did in the beginning of the program today. We can look at the corruption in government. We can expose the fakes, phonies, and frauds. We can expose the evil global agenda that seeks a new government for the world, a new religion for the world based upon, well, satanic ideology, posing as Gaia worship, Moloch worship, Ishtar worship, all wrapped into one happy Unitarian kind of philosophy that's safe and encouraging. One of the missions of my little church here in Virginia is going to be for the many Methodists that thought maybe it could turn around. A while back, they were going to have their big conference, their general conference in 2020, and it got canceled because of the, you know, COVID-19. And a lot of people saw the handwriting on the wall, and for a brief period of time, they started this other organization called Global Methodist. And many churches, a lot of them have pulled out and joined the new group. But my friends that have left the Methodist Church years ago, they were deeply concerned about this new group still had many of the same problems that had gotten into the United Methodist Church that brought them to the place that they are today. There's a large group of breakaway Episcopalians called the Anglican Church North America, and they've got some of the same issues. Some of their churches are conservative, but so many of them have kept some of the same things that destroyed the Episcopal Church and made it apostate. And I see that with the Global Methodist. And then I think of some of the many little United Methodist churches that dot the countryside within 10 miles of where I live. And I know some of these older people kept holding out hope that somehow it would all get fixed. That yes, we can get it repaired and they'll leave us alone. And I'm sure a lot of them are right now in disbelief of what happened not even 2 weeks ago. May 3rd will be the day that the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, died. When they rejected what the Bible teaches and decided to replace it with man-made desires and the celebration of sin. And now these churches are stuck. And I know a few United Methodist ministers that right now are probably considering resigning, retiring, and getting out. They're done. I know little churches around here, beautiful buildings that are down to 10 and 12 people. They seat 150 or 200. They only have 10 or 12 older people that were hanging on. And the church that I have, I pray it could be a sanctuary for those that have had enough of the woke United Methodist Church, enough of what the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has become. You thought you could keep it out of your church. Now you learn you can't. They're coming for you. They're coming for your church. It doesn't matter if my grandparents gave the stained glass window or the pulpit anymore. The stuff doesn't matter. Your soul does. And what about communities that really don't have any Bible-believing churches? What are you going to do? And I really believe that if things don't go, if we don't get a reprieve in this election here in the United States, we're about to face a time of intense tribulation, and Christians are going to be the target. Pro-life Christians, Bible-believing Christians, people that believe transgenderism is a mental illness, not normal. We will be attacked by the Merrick Garlands of this world. They will attempt to silence us, shut us down, even imprison us. And I think the church in the United States, I would say 90% of it, is unprepared. Too many, like the United Methodists, will go on board. They'll be safe churches in terms of a reprobate government because they believe the same, they're celebrating the same silly sin. And then those that are true believers will be attacked and pushed underground, pushed out of the mainstream. It's coming. Are you ready for that day? And so the direction of Truth to Ponder, sure, we can look at some of these news stories that are out there. I can tell you with certainty that if this election in the United States re-elects, whether by cheat, which probably will, be if they cheat and he wins, and things stay the same, this march into hell will go into overdrive. The rounding up of Christians will literally become the norm. And the fake and phony Christians that are out there in these woke, diseased, corrupt, antichrist, apostate churches will be screaming out there that they'll think that persecuting the real Christians is doing God's service, as the Bible predicted. You will have families divided among themselves. The day is here. It is at the doorstep. Why should I waste my time talking about secular stuff for the entirety of a radio program? I know later this week and over the next couple of weeks, as I'm recuperating, I still have help. I'm part of the program from Jim Calhoun, and I'm going to let him deal with some of those secular issues. But for me, I've got to move away. The burden on my heart for the salvation of souls is way too high. I can't deal with this any longer. I can't deal with once, I'm even seeing it in the Missouri Synod Church, that you're beginning to let the leaven in there. And once again, this new apostolic stuff and this music about me and pep talk worship. This is not a worship style. Trust me. This is about worship content. What are you worshiping? The God inside of you or the God of this universe? A lot of the music out there is deeply concerning. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy, even for the little radio station that I have, to remain pure. But I'm certainly going to try as hard as I can. Maybe you don't agree with the direction I want to take this program, but I'm thinking about the time that I put in each and every day. Generally speaking, especially during this time since my last surgery, normally I spend a lot of time in research and reading throughout the day and in the evening. And then I sit down and start putting the program together. It takes about 2.5 hours of assembly time to do the program and a few hours in prep every day. But I've been pretty weakened by the recent surgery, and I can tell you that this program has taken over 4 hours to assemble to this point. And there's still going to be another half hour or 40 minutes of work to do when I'm done in just a few minutes. It is a challenge. If I'm going to put this much time in it, I don't need to be doing as much secular news. I really don't. Maybe somebody else needs to be raised up for that purpose, but God called me into ministry many, many years ago. And every moment I spend just doing the news and not talking about the kingdom is just not fulfilling the calling that I have as a pastor more than anything else. I need to be more of a pastor than a newsman. I know that. And with what time God is giving me and the work before me, I need to pivot in that direction. Sure, there are a lot of things that I can share in terms of news. It just buttresses what we're talking about. So I come to you now. Do you believe in this ministry? You know, I'm trying to find a bunch of like-minded Christians around the country to start communicating with so we can prepare the church for the times that are coming. If you don't believe they're coming, then you're a fool. And it doesn't take the Great Tribulation to persecute a church. It's happened many times over the past 2,000 years. First century church was underground for hundreds of years. And it's coming again. Would you support us? Would you consider supporting us for the first time? If you would, visit the website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. That's 24319. Once again, pray for us. And by the way, you can send me a direct email, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com. You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com, and support us from there. Find out how to hear the program. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.